Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 51, verses 1 to 6. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave you birth. When I called him, he was but one, and I blessed him and made him many. The Lord will surely comfort Zion and will look with compassion on all her ruins. He will make her deserts like Eden, her wastelands like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of singing. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Whakarongo ki te kupu, ki te wairoa, ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mō tonu tāna, kupu ki a tātou. And our tarongapai tapu, the Holy Gospel for today, is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, Chapter 16, beginning at verse 13. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti te karoria ki te atua. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then Jesus warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Te rongapai tēnei a te ka aiti. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe mititia ea te kupu mana.
Well, kia ora again. Kia ora anō. How are you doing? You alright? Yeah? Good. bonjour tout le monde. Ça va? Bien sûr. That was my French. That was the extent of my French. I'm sorry about that. Baptiste, it's like, you know, everyone has to take the opportunity to talk. All I know is schoolboy French, really. You know, we call it schoolboy French, schoolgirl French, what you learn, you know, from the textbooks and stuff. I love the sound of French. I love it. But I can't remember much. I can only remember, like, you know, bits of schoolboy French, like, la souris dans le tasse du thé. Which doesn't make any sense. Or, le singe est dans l'arbre. Mais la souris, maintenant, est sur la table. Thank you very much. So it doesn't really help when you're actually in France. But aren't languages wonderful? You grow in the knowledge of a language, don't you? And I found the fastest way to learn a language is to find someone who speaks it and to know them. Or even better still, to be in a whole setting, preferably the whole country, where that language is spoken, in a place where it's spoken, and then you pick it up real quick, eh? I don't know, is Liana still in here, or has she gone upstairs with Anatole? But, you know, her experience, I'm sure, of learning French is one particularly through Baptiste, you know, and that relationship. But and the more you speak, the more you get to know the language and the person, right? But that growing, I think that growing in language, growing in knowing, is something that we see here in our passage this morning, believe it or not. Because the disciples have been following Jesus, and they've been growing in their knowledge of him. They've been seeing what he does, and they start off thinking, oh, you know, he's a rabbi. He's a rabbi like the other rabbis. Although there's something special about him, because all he has to do is say, come follow me. And some of them just leave their nets, and they're like, there's something about this guy, I want to follow him. Yeah, he's a rabbi, but he's got some goods. So they follow him. And then as they're following him, they grow in that knowledge, and they start to think, oh, maybe he's a prophet or something. And then, do you remember that story where Jesus gets into, where they get into the boat and they go out and Jesus falls asleep. And then the wind and the waves come and everything. And Jesus, they wake him up. They say, well, Lord, we're going to perish. We're going to drown. And he wakes up and he just rebukes the wind and the waves. He says, be still. And they're still. And their knowledge of him grows. And it says, they say, what kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. So they're starting to grow in that knowledge, as we all do, you know, growing in our knowledge of people. The more they see him, the more they go, oh. And then they see him do those odd things, like there's a big crowd and, you know, they're all pressing in on him. And that woman touches his garment, you know, sneaks up behind him. He can't see it. But he's like, who touched me? And they're all like, are you what? Are you nuts? Everyone's, there's a big crowd. Everyone's bumping you all the time. And he said, no, someone touched me. Like a proper, meaningful, they meant it. And the woman says, it was me. And he says, daughter. And this is somebody who's been outcast on the edge of all society, of all proper society. And he says, daughter. You're part of the family. Your faith has made you well. It's lovely. And they see Jesus doing stuff like that, caring about the people on the edges that no one else, proper society, doesn't care about. It's wonderful. Really wonderful. And they're growing and growing. And then there's that incident, isn't there, when they're on the boat and Jesus is praying on the mountain and they've gone out on the boat and again they get into a bit of trouble. And then he walks on the water. Peter walks on the water for a moment as well. They, you know, falls down, picks him up. They go into the boat. And at that point, it says they worshipped him. You know, they kind of bowed down before him and gave him honor and adoration. And I think they said, this is the Son of God, I think they might have said at that point. They're growing and growing and growing in their knowledge of who Jesus is. And we come, this is the midpoint in Matthew's gospel, our reading this morning. There's like a whole bit in Galilee. And then there's a whole bit where he heads, the first half is really Galilee. And the second half, he heads into Jerusalem and then dies and rises again. So that first half, this is the midpoint where he's about to turn towards Jerusalem and start journeying that way. Into Judea and Jerusalem. And at that point, he asked them, who do the people say I am? And they say, oh, you know, like a prophet, like John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets, whatever. You know, and he says, yeah, but who do... And that is what people have seen. The crowds think that of Jesus. The disciples who have been a bit closer are thinking that and then growing and growing. And then he says, who do you say I am? And as many people have said you know, down the ages, the most important question that we could be asked. Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then he says a whole load of stuff, you know, about blessed are you, because God's revealed this to you, not a human being, blah, blah, blah. And all of the gate, you know, the gates of Hades keys and blah, blah, blah. But the thing is that Peter's seen something and he's grown in his knowledge of Jesus. And it's exactly the same for you and me, isn't it? As we journey on our journeys through life, we see things about Jesus. We get to know a little bit about him. Or maybe we see somebody who loves Jesus and we think, oh, wow, I'd never... a bit of Jesus sort of shines through them. Do you know what I mean? I remember meeting a guy. I thought I knew what kindness was. Forgive me, because I know I've said this before to some of you, but I thought I knew what kindness was. And we moved house to a new area, and it was really, really hard on our kids. It was hard on us. And our eldest was really having a tough time. And this guy was the vicar of the church, and I was, you know, training, so I was under him. And he was into pottery. I've just made the connection. I'll tell you what it is in a sec. Anyway, so this, she was 12, I think, around that, Bethany was, or 13, and she was like, forgive me, Bethany, if you're listening, and I hope you don't mind, but she would cry almost every single night for the first 6 weeks, you know. The move was just so big. And we were gutted. Our hearts were being ripped apart. You know how it is as parents, those of you who have kids. And the vicar, Gordon, his name was into pottery. And he said, come and do some pottery with us. And so me and Bethany headed off, and she just loved this pottery, and we did pottery together and all this kind of thing. And the kindness that he showed us, that wasn't the only thing. There were so many kindnesses, but there was something so warm and life-giving and generous and just gentle and holding about that kindness that ever afterwards, I've honestly said, I did not know. I never knew what kindness was until I saw it in Gordon. That's the honest truth. You know, I thought I did, and then I saw next level kindness. And that kindness was coming from his relationship with Jesus. That's all it was. It was, and you know how Jesus, he kind of gets hold of us, doesn't he, in different ways? And he gets hold of us in different ways. And then sometimes a particular aspect of his nature kind of gets into us. We catch the bug, as it were. You know? And we start to exhibit that, whether we know it or not. And Gordon definitely didn't know it, because he was a grumpy old person as well. If I'd told him, and I did tell him, I'm sure, that he was kind, but he would have probably just gone, or whatever. But he really was. It was unbelievable. All right, so, sorry, I'm going off on one. But just to complete that story, the penny just dropped just now. Miriam's nodding. And yeah, everyone who knows, Bethany is now a ceramics, you know, artist. She's just, and growing in it incredibly. She went and she did that potting, and then she went, did all sorts of other things. She did fine arts in the end, went in as a painter. Painting was her love. And to Wellington, Massey and Wellington, she came out with a huge love of pottery, which she sort of got into partway through. And now is working in a potter's studio under a really good artist who's training her up and everything. So isn't that amazing? What a blessing. Wow. Is Katie in? No, she's upstairs with the kids. Mate, we're going to have to go, oh, wow. Yeah. So growing in our knowledge of Jesus. There's a difference, I think, between Christianity. Christianity's got that word at the beginning, Christ. So have you ever thought about that word, Christianity? Yeah. We're Christians. We're people who are in Christ. And there's a difference between Christianity and what we might call Godianity. You know? Isn't there? We're all different, and I kind of grew up just sort of believing in God. And I remember partway through kind of hearing this guy when I was just at uni, and he was a teacher and stuff. He spoke about Jesus in such a way that I'd never heard anyone talk about Jesus. And I was like, oh, I've kind of been in church all my life. Maybe I should get to know Jesus a bit. And I kind of moved from a kind of Godianity into more of a Christianity. I mean, you know, I'm being a bit silly because, of course, I was a Christian, really, I suppose. But getting to know Jesus. And the difference, I think, is sometimes that when you're a Godian instead of a Christian, when I'm a Godian, I can kind of go, ah, God's, you know, he's big, he's distant, not at all human, because God's God, and beyond and huge and mighty and everlasting and all those kinds of things. And it's easy to attribute to God various things that excuse me a bit in some ways. For example, like judging. Like God judges people, I can judge people. Thank you very much, God. And I go around judging people. And then I look at Jesus and I think, oh darn, because Jesus is not judgy, you know? And as it says in Hebrews, in him is all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Isn't that quite an incredible phrase? All the fullness of the Godhead, this God who is beyond, bodily, in Christ, in Jesus. And so it says, you know, Paul says, when we look at his face, we can see the glory of God in the face of Christ. And Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that quite incredible? Crazy words, unless they're true. If you see me, you've seen the Father. And John, at the beginning of his gospel, says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This isn't, you know, the disciples have grown in that knowledge and love of Christ. And they're realizing now this isn't just a human being. This is a fully human person, yes. But a fully human person they're starting to realize, as Peter says, who is the Son of the living God. Who is, Thomas says at the end of John's Gospel, my Lord and my God. And suddenly their Godianity has become Christianity. And they know that everything they see in Jesus Christ is God revealing God's self to us. Because Jesus Christ is God, stepped into God's creation. So for me, it's just wonderful. I was going to say it's a bummer. In the sense of not being able to get away with things like judging. I'm going to tell a story. This is the story I'm finishing with. There's at least one person who knows who I'm talking about, but I know someone quite well who recently he and his wife were having trouble with one of their kids. And this kid, in the typical kind of kid fashion, you know, sort of teens, late teens, whatever, you know, had done something and then was saying, nah, it wasn't me kind of thing. Anyone ever experienced that? Anyone ever been that kid? Yeah, definitely. We've all been that kid. Well, most of us. I cannot tell a lie. It was not me. And they were like, what do we do? And I know for a fact the guy, the bloke, the dad, was really like, this is not okay, I've got to do something about this, you know. But what do I do? How do we confront them with the truth? How do we get them to confess? All this kind of thing. And was really, really wrapped up about it and talked to his friend about this. And his friend just said, actually, you know what this kid's been through recently, because they've been through a really hard time, like really hard time, really awful. You know what they've been through. You know what they're suffering. Is it any wonder that they're behaving a little bit wonkily? And this guy that I know, he said, oh, yeah. And straight away, it was like scales fell from his eyes. And it was like a light switched on in his heart. And instead of being judgy, which he was, he became really compassionate. Just in an instant, it was. He saw, and he'd been struggling, you know, he'd been struggling with his phages. What should I do? He wanted to do the right thing, but he couldn't see what the right thing was. And then just a couple of words from a friend, scales fell from, the light switched on, and he was, I know what to do, I can see it. And so he went to his kid and he said, look, no consequences. I just want you to be able to, you know, I'm not going to blow you up. I'm not going to come down on you like a ton of bricks. I'm not going to blow you out of the water, which is what I would normally do. I just want you to know that you're forgiven already. And I'm not even going to talk about it. But also want you to know that for your own sake, for the sake of, you know, growing and building yourself up, it'd be really good if you tell the truth. The more truthful we are with ourselves and with the people around us, particularly the people we love, the better it is, really. That, you know, Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. There's freedom. You know, you'll find things fall off, and you've got more freedom when you're honest. And they went away, and then they came back, you know, half an hour later, maybe an hour later, and they said, actually, I did do that thing, and here's why, blah, 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 I'm really sorry, I shouldn't have. And it all came out, and it was the best way. For that person, what they say is that judgment into that compassion, they just couldn't see that way until they saw things with Jesus' eyes. I don't know if that makes any sense. Does that make any sense? What it is as Godians, as a Godian, I could say I quite enjoy judging people because I do. It's awful, but I think we all do it. But, you know, I just want to be black and white and go, right, that's wrong, get out, you know. But actually, as a Christian, Jesus says, judge not lest you be judged, you know. Take the plank out of your own eye. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a massive plank in my own eye before you try and take the speck out of your brother's and sister's eyes. You know, we really do need to pay attention to our own hearts. I do. That's the kind of God we see in Jesus. And as we grow in our love for him, in our knowledge of him, and I hope that this isn't sounding heavy and condemning, because it shouldn't really. As we grow in our knowledge and love of Jesus, we just find that truth is setting us free more and more and more. And we realize that's what God looks like, that compassion, that kindness, that lack of judgment, that absolute love and acceptance unconditionally of everybody, to the extent that it seems maddening to the sort of judgy types. It shouldn't be. He shouldn't be that generous. That's not okay. How many people said that when Jesus was alive? And I'm one of them. I'm like that myself. Forgive me. You know, the more we get to know him and his generous love, mate, the better and better it is for everyone around us and for ourselves as well. So let's grow in our knowledge and love of him. That's pretty much all I've got to say. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the journeys that you take us all on. Thank you for the journey that you took the disciples on, getting to know you better and better. Thank you that just as we go through our lives, we can see you more and more. And we just ask, along with Richard of Chichester, that in that wonderful prayer turned into a song, Lord, we just pray that we would see you, know you more clearly, and love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You can stand.